Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Bills Wire Bills Cast, presented to you by USA Today SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host, and today I am joined by one of the young boys around here at Bills Wire. Fresh meat, we can call him, but honestly, his first name is Dave. And Dave, welcome to the show, and I'm glad you can be joining me for today. How are you, bud?
I'm great, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Thank you for coming on. Thank you for taking the time. I know you got some, always got some stuff and things to do. There's you always be doing something else, but I'm happy to be just talking with somebody for this podcast. It's been a couple weeks. I'm lonely.
It's a great time to be a Bills fan.
Yeah.
It's a great time to talk about this topic. So I'm all for it, man.
Absolutely. Yep. We're about an hour after at recording time. We're about an hour after the Bills have the clock ran out and the Bills have defeated the Las Vegas Raiders 30-23. And a game that was maybe a lot closer than it seemed at some points, but I wanted to get your initial reaction from what we witnessed today. What were your thoughts on Bills and Raiders?
Well, I think the first thing that really jumped out at me, and I know it's been a topic of conversation pretty often amongst, writers and fans alike, has been the defense showing up. You know, I think we've all kind of been waiting to see it. Something that really caught my eye last week is that just like when people watch the playoff game against the Texans and national people who aren't used to watching Josh and the Bills play, they're not used to seeing him take off with the ball and try to make big plays and try to take the team on his back. Whereas we've been watching it all season last year, they kind of, had a little bit of a knee jerk response to that last season. I kind of felt like there was just a little bit of that last weekend when they were watching the Rams game. It was almost like they'd forgotten that, hey, we do have one of the top defenses in the league. They've just been kind of getting things, up and running.
Right.
And that top defense met a top offense. They had an off year last year, but the Rams, they're known for being a high scoring team, kind of a high octane, high scoring offense. They had that big game against the Chiefs a couple seasons ago, where they were both just racking up points, seeing who would end up with the highest score almost. So, it was almost like we finally saw the defense show up last week and kind of contain that high octane offense over three quarters. And then it just broke out finally and couldn't, there it was flashes of things to come. We've seen consistently under McDermott, that defense is a focal point of that team. And so it was great to see them causing turnovers. I mean, that's one of my favorite things. That's the very first thing. I even texted a few people before the game and just said, I'm expecting an immediate impact from Josh Norman. I think he's going to find a way to show up in this game in a way that's going to make an immediate impact. And sure enough, that punch of the ball out for that fumble and then just recovering it, I thought it was great that both our guys recovered the fumbles that they caused. Both of them managed to recover, and I thought that was fantastic. So that's the very first thing I noticed.
That's a great point. I mean, this defense has been, as the kids say nowadays, suspect. It's had its high. It hasn't been what we've been expecting. Last year was a top three, maybe four. I think it was a top three, two ranked defense. And yep. Before this game, at 21st. So we've been waiting. We're like, what's going on? What is this Bills team doing? The 29 unanswered points last week. They've left. The Dolphins almost managed to come back. The Jets did whatever the Jets do and couldn't pull off the win, but they started to rally some kind of offense. So, but we have been waiting for that. We have been waiting for this defense to play like it's paid and it looks on paper. And honestly, it's a pretty fantastic defense, but it seems to be a problem that's going across the NFL. A lot of defenses haven't been, they've had their ups and downs throughout the season. One week they're really hot, one week they're not. So, but I think this was a nice wake-up party for this Bills defense. And I'm glad, you brought up the Josh Norman point because I awarded him the Bills Wire Player of the Week for this week because, honestly, the Bills defense was not looking all that good until that big turnover that Norman put out. Punching the ball. And it's really cool, too, because I remember, obviously I live in the Buffalo area, where we see Buffalo social media all the time, people's opinions, writers' opinions. And people were not so, they were very sour on the Josh Norman signing. They're like, oh, really? This is what we go get? And it's like, dude, you guys, the Bills paid nothing for him. The Bills
exactly.
paid absolutely yeah. like, what is it? Like 2 million, yeah. something along the lines of that. It's
I and you know what, to be fair, Matt, I was with them until they made the signing and I saw that they got him on a 1-year show me deal, essentially, for really a bargain price. You know, this guy hasn't played meaningful football in years.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying at his position. I don't mean at his position. You know, there's been times where he's been as advertised at his position. I mean, on a team where it's mattered. I mean, in games where it's mattered. You know, he spent those years where he took the big contract in Washington, you know, reuniting with McDermott, getting back in the system that got him that paycheck in the first place.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've really felt since the signings, hey, even if we get Josh Norman at efficiency, having him in the mix with Trey White, Levi Wallace, I mean, you think about just what Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde have managed to do, adding Matt Milano to that mix. Once these guys get spinning on all cylinders, I mean, that's going to be a scary field to throw the ball into for opposing quarterbacks. And so I love having Norman back in that mix.
Absolutely. Yeah. You could definitely tell there was something different about the defense after that turnover that we already mentioned too. Like I said, they started to like rally and there was still plenty of time left. There was a quarter. I think the Raiders were down by maybe, we'll go through the drive chart in a little bit, but maybe they were down a touchdown at that point and they could have, you know, when Derek Carr gets hot, Derek Carr, he can go. He's not as, I think he's really underappreciated as a quarterback, but that's just me. But he can get going. He's got the talent around him to start making plays. But after that, Norman, you know, the punching it out, grabbing the fumble, running it back the other way, the defense seemed to come alive, and they really did what they had to do. And it just, I felt like that fourth quarter was the best complete Bills team that I've seen in 2020 so far. And I was very, it was refreshing. It was very refreshing to see.
One of the things too, you know, that I do think kind of speaks just a little bit to the, how the Bills defense showed up. So Raiders opponents before this game were averaging 30 points. The Bills were averaging 31 points against their opponents. So that actually ended up working out about what you would expect it to.
Right.
But the Raiders were averaging 34 points against three good teams. You know, if you look at their opponents over the first 3 weeks, the Raiders played decent teams. And they were averaging 34 points.
Yeah.
For the Bills to come in here and not just hold them to 23 points, but if you think about it, they scored that last touchdown during what in basketball would be referred to as garbage time.
Yes.
I mean, you're down in the last like couple minutes of the game. We're not trying to commit any fouls or get any flags called. You know, we're just trying to let the clock run out without any major penalties or turnovers and just close the game out.
Right.
And so that was all game management in that last stretch there. You know, them scoring that touchdown, you know, that kind of saves some face for the Raiders, who are otherwise a really good team. I mean, they had a lot of injuries today. But, you know, that Gruden Raiders team, I mean, he came in his first year when nobody expected them to do anything and overperformed. So they were the talk of the NFL for a while in the stretch in his first season back with the franchise. So, I mean, even just looking at that, anytime you're playing that squad is going to be a challenge. And I think the way they showed up, even with all their injuries, really kind of is a testament to that. But that defense for the Bills that hadn't found their rhythm, but had kind of shown flashes of their usual self, really showed up in a big way today. And, you know, the Raiders are coming off. It's interesting that we played two teams that had just played the Patriots right before us. Cause you know, Belichick's a defensive mind. He's a problem solver. He's somebody that'll come in at halftime, you know, and change his entire game plan if he needs to based on what the other team has given him. So, you know, it gives you a little bit of a roadmap, kind of the way that the Bills gave the rest of the league a roadmap for how to defend Lamar Jackson when they played the Ravens. You know, so that definitely doesn't hurt. I'm excited to see what they do over the next few weeks, especially with this situation with the Titans unfolding, where we could get a bye week and have extra time to prepare for a Chiefs team that's looking at three games in 10 days. with their reschedule.
Right. And this is what, I mean, that's a game that people have been circling, right? This is big. It's a big deal. Right. It's Thursday night football. And, you know, Bills getting their opportunity to shine the national spotlight against the defending Super Bowl champions. So, I mean, as unfortunate as all this is, it could play into the Bills' favor with it. Yeah. But this defense has to continue to progress and tighten up on their coverages and not give up so much. Because, I mean, honestly, if Patrick Mahomes has his way with this Bills team, it's going to be very difficult to come back from that. You know, and that's I don't want to get too far ahead, but that's, you know, I mean, two weeks away. So, yeah. But oh, go ahead. You look like you're about to say something.
I just thought of something interesting about that. So we were talking about points allowed, right? Point yes. averages, scoring, things like that. I do think it's really interesting that the Bills opponents were only averaging just a little bit over 25 points, like 25 plus, we'll say, right? Over the first three games, and they held the Raiders to 125. Again, just pointing out that the last two teams that Buffalo played are known for scoring high. They're known for scoring, you know, 30 plus points a game. The Chiefs are one of the kind of the poster children in the league for that. And the Rams were one of the other ones too, by the way.
That is true.
It's kind of interesting, you know, and like you said, hey, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But, you know, say things do play out that way, as they kind of appear to be at least moving in somewhat of that direction with the Titans, you know, then that would make, you know, them our next opponent. And it would be worth considering that if the Bills defense, you know, you've had four games under your belt now, you're getting your guys back healthy. You know, Milano with the pack, hopefully he'll be back healthy. I love having some time there for him to heal up. Hopefully that's not anything that's too serious. We've seen what can happen when, you know, guys get some stuff like that can kind of keep him out for a bit. So, and we love, I mean, I loved having him back today. He makes such an immediate impact
absolutely.
In the pass. So, you know, just looking at that and considering that, hey, they did it again, you know, even for, you know, what critiques, and I know it's kind of become a little bit of almost like a anomaly or something. You know, if you have a sense of humor, it's like every week they got to find a reason to maybe say why Allen or the Bills haven't arrived yet. Like, oh yeah, but he's still not there, this or that, right? Well, okay, yeah. I mean, young quarterback, growing team, developing every year, taking steps forward every year. This defense that, as you said, right, understandably, people are saying, wow, it's a little suspect this early on in the season, you know, that they're not showing up and maybe looking like their usual selves. You factor in the lack of the preseason, the lack of the games. I'm willing to say, hey, look, we missed out on, you know, the preseason games. Maybe they needed those first two games to warm up.
Right.
And just kind of get the ball rolling, because we're starting to see in the game against the Rams, in the game today, the Bills defense, the McDermott defense, you know, that we've come to be known for is starting to show up. That Leslie Frazier defense is starting to show up that we're known for. So thinking about that, thinking about, you know, holding opponents to that average, that's going to be really interesting against a team like the Chiefs that, a lot like Buffalo, finds ways to win late in games, you know, stages with comebacks. You know, because we didn't have those televised games last season, people didn't see all those comebacks that Allen led. You know, like that's become a bit of a hallmark of his, is there was a good number of games in there that he, you know, took the team on his back and led some of those big comebacks. And I think a lot of people, just with the friendly kind of, you know, rivalry and joking about the arm strength and things like that. And then even, of course, going back to the big draft trade that landed the Chiefs Mahomes in the first place.
Right.
You know, I'm glad I think we both ended up making out pretty great. You know, we both ended up with a great quarterback for our franchise. That's a perfect fit for both systems, both coaches, both franchises. And very excited to see not just them play one another coming up, but also for years to come. That's going to become, hopefully, one of the better rivalries in the AFC.
Absolutely. I am looking forward to that. And, you know, just on the Josh Allen subject now, like like the last couple weeks, I was not like, I wasn't one of those guys who bought in originally when Josh Allen was drafted. It's one of those, a lot of people like to see, you know, see a guy and like, oh, he's going to be great. He's going to be great. But I got to see stuff on field. And honestly, after last weekend, like I honestly, after last weekend, you know, with his victory over the Rams, it's really hard to deny Josh Allen right now. It really is. And you know what I mean? It was weird watching this game today against the Raiders and being like, you know, like Josh Allen isn't like of any concern. He's doing great. He's taking big chunk plays. He's hitting Diggs. He's hitting Beasley and he's hitting all these guys and just being really just as efficient as you could ever want him to be. Like I have absolutely, I mean, not that anybody should, but I have no criticism of Josh Allen for this game. He's been playing at an elite level, which I have to say, the MVP, I know it's still too early, but the talks of him being a possible MVP runner is it's not out of the question. He's playing just as good ball as Russell Wilson is, right now. And he, you know what I mean? He's taking advantage of the tools that have been put in, before him. And honestly, there was not one point where I doubted the Bills would lose this game today. Once they got up to that early lead and Josh just kept moving the ball down the field, efficiently and with ease, he did make it look pretty easy. A little scare on that tackle with the shoulder, but other than that, I was fairly confident with Josh Allen in this offense today. Little nerve wracking.
Yep. I think we all held our breath.
You're not kidding. I'm like, really right now. Maybe you got a cortisone. I don't know what they do in those locker rooms, but I'm just glad to see him. It was out there and doing well. Cause I don't know what to make of Matt Barkley yet. And he's no Josh Allen. But regardless, let's take a look back at the drive summary for the day. We're going to go drive by drive and kind of take a look and talk about it. First quarter, the Bills start off really hot, 70 yards on 8 plays and start off with a touchdown. Josh Allen hitting Gabriel Davis, the fourth round steal, an absolute steal. And I'm very impressed with how Gabriel Davis has fit in this offense. He's become just so invaluable to this team, who has three great receivers as it is with Diggs, Brown, and Beasley, and Davis he's like a 3B, or that's how he fits. He honestly just fits right in the seam. I consider him one of the top three receivers on this team right now.
It's been really interesting to see that receiver group firing on cylinders, and I mean, all the credit in the world to Brian Daboll, because people are poetically complimenting him on a weekly basis now on the offensive schemes he's rolling out that are tailored for each game. We saw how effective his offense was in New England when he was with a team that had the talent, you know, that actually really invested and put players into a system. So it's not altogether shocking, but it's refreshing. That's for sure.
It is. He's taken a lot of criticism over the last couple of years, and myself included, I'm like, what is this guy doing? But he's getting the ball spread around. Like everybody's getting looks. When you go through the stats, I mean, you're going to see that literally everybody touched the ball today on the offensive side.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I love the point that you made about Gabe Davis. Who would have thunk, right? Like, who would have thought that this early in the season we'd be seeing him not just make an impact, but a difference, you know? And I've been paying real close attention to Diggs' targets, because I'm sure a lot of people are. Not because I'm setting the bar at an unrealistic place, but because we had a number one receiver last year in John Brown. And I loved hearing so many, you know, teammates and coaches even say that going into this season is, hey, we feel like we have, you know, two number one receivers. And that's very, very true. Yeah. Cole Beasley. Oh my gosh. Wow. that guy, like,
what a gamer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I'll admit, I kind of wondered when we signed him, I was like, I wonder what we're getting here. Cause I watched him in Dallas and he was good. You know, like I just didn't know what we would be getting at a player his age. I didn't know what we would be getting in terms of productivity.
Yeah.
And he has proven to be, just like some of those guys were for New England when Dable was with them, you know, those slot receivers, those guys that would make those big plays and catches. He has proved to be that guy. He really has. So I'm watching that same thing that you mentioned about them really spreading the ball around. And it's creating these really great looks for Diggs and Davis, where, you know, if you're a defense,
who do you try to defend against? Who do you defend against?
Right. Who do you prioritize? Who do you double? Like, I mean, we have a couple, and with, oh my gosh, with Tyler Kroft healthy, where now you have to worry about him and Knox.
Yeah.
You know, a couple big guys. I mean, this has really been great. So that you hit the nail on the head as far as, you know, spreading the offense around. It's been wonderful to see it because we have an option when needed anywhere on the field, essentially. It's really been great. It's not, you know, it makes sense when you think about how many yards they've been putting up, but wow, it's what an improvement.
Yeah, it's nice to see, like, our wide receiver one not being Calvin Benjamin or like Zay Jones having to get like all the targets. You know what I mean? There's literally not a hole on this offensive side from a weapons perspective.
Calvin Benjamin, man. Hashtag never forget.
Never forget.
We will rebuild. Yeah.
Hashtag Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
I will say I was sitting in the end zone that first game that Allen started when he late in the game against the Chargers, when he threw his first touchdown pass to Kelvin Benjamin in the end zone. And I was like, I'm glad there's a redemptive memory. It's almost like it's just kind of, you know, tied to it. It's good to have at least one redemptive memory there.
That's good. I was at that game too. It was very hot, very hot. Next drive, the Raiders get it back. They go 48 yards on 12 plays, and they end up with a field goal, deep field goal too. They 54-yard field goal from Dan Carlson, which was not too shabby, but the Raiders moved the ball relatively effectively throughout this drive. Bills answered back, and this is when I was like, okay, this could be over. It should be over at this point. The Bills, 70 yards on 11 plays. To go up 14-3 with Josh Allen hitting Cole Beasley for an 11-yard touchdown pass. You know, again, we talked about the strength of an advantage of having a guy like Cole Beasley around. And, you know, we knew, you know, going back to his Dallas days, how he was always kind of second fiddle. You know, second to the Jason Wittens of the world or Dez Bryant's. And as soon as Dallas acquired Amari Cooper, Cole Beasley was there. He was gritty tough. And doing what he had to do, it was necessary to, you know, help the team win. But, it's really cool to see him bring that gritty toughness and actually produce the way that he has. And he's had a tremendous first four games this season so far.
If that catch he made, by the way, does not make a Sports Center top 10 list, I'll be shocked that he... You're right. He's been great. And, you know, I'm glad you mentioned about them charging back down the field and answering. One of the things that I thought about a lot going into this game was there's been teams in the past. It even worked for the Rex Ryan Jets, which tells you something. But, when teams come in and they just charge right down the field on their first possession and score, you know, set the pace, set the tone for the game, then it becomes your lead to build on, your lead to defend, your lead to take back.
Yeah.
Should the other team, you know, catch up and make a game of it. And I was very happy and very impressed to see that from the offense today, both opening the game, but then, as you said, when they came back and answered and came back and responded, I thought the defense did a great job in the first and second quarters of really, same thing as last week during the Rams, really holding their offense, you know, from getting in the red zone and having a kick.
That was a huge advantage because, right on the next drive, early in the second quarter, the Raiders did do that to go up four. They didn't go up, but increase their point total 14-6. And I mean, if the Raiders score touchdowns here, this is a completely different game. It's a little demoralizing when you drive as far as they did, which, you know, the Raiders on this drive, 59 yards and hit a 39-yard field goal on a 12-play drive, nonetheless, and you end up with a field goal. It's a little demoralizing, but, you know, what we talked about at the top of the show, it's a good step forward for this defense who didn't just quite give it up. So trending in the right direction. Next drive, Bills hit a field goal, 43 yards on 11 plays to go up 17-6. Tyler Bass with a 34-yard field goal. Again, utilizing a little bit of everybody. Again, and it's hard to game plan against that. And I think that's been a bit of the genius of Brian Daboll. Somebody, I can't remember who said it on Twitter. It might have been I came across somebody, one of those, like, it may have been Orlovsky or Pat McAfee or one of those bigwig analysts that get paid a lot more than we do. and they're like, oh, Dable's probably going to be, you know, Dable's within the next couple of years, people might be eyeing him for a head coaching job.
His name's kind of been in the mix. Even just like the last two seasons, his name's come up. One of the things that I'm optimistic about and really hopeful about is that there has been this emphasis on the virtue and the value of a quarterback growing up in and playing in the same system with the same coordinator and the type of level of success that New England specifically had with that. It doesn't hurt to have the same quarterback in your system for 20 years. I mean, I know that there's all different types of outlooks on Tom Brady, you know, depending on which side of that debate you're on, whether you consider team accolades like Super Bowl victories or individual position play, which other quarterbacks, you know, in his generation were further ahead in, as to what type of quarterback he was. I think he was a good one or is a good one, you know, and obviously he benefited from the success of playing in the best system in football for a very long time.
Absolutely.
So think about that. I mean, that's been very encouraging and exciting and interesting to me is that, you know, Dable's had some interviews in there. His name's come up a couple of years, but he comes back and we keep getting better. And there seems to be this commitment between him and the offense that I'm hoping is for the long term, is for the long haul, and that he'll stick with Bills.
I think so too. I mean, it's always you think about it, if you were in that position and, if I was in the position, of course I'd want to try it for a head coaching job. And there's always a bit of a risk that comes with it, but it's like, oh man, we got something really good and really special going on here. You know, I mean, look at Josh McDaniels. He went away once, it didn't work out. He came back to the Patriots and they've been very successful ever since. So, maybe Dable is that guy. Maybe he is. Maybe he's willing to stay back and help lead this team and try to make it some kind of dynasty. We'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. And you had mentioned Tyler Bass, and you know, I know he's gonna come up again.
Oh yeah.
Later.
Yeah, later. Couple more drives.
yep. And but we're kind of seeing, you know, the best of the worst of rolling with a rookie, right? And not just any rookie, a rookie with such a great leg that he was considered to be the best kicking prospect in the draft. You know, he was able to kick from distance without getting a running start.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've wondered about since they decided to roll with him instead of Hauschka, which is a big move. I mean, the Bills were really thrilled to get Hauschka, especially with his experience kicking in weather. And so for them to roll with Bass, you know, that was kind of a little bit of an under the radar big deal. And we saw some of the hits and misses early in the season. I think it's to his benefit and a big help that we're dealing mostly with fake crowd noise.
Yeah.
Get him in the first season. Hopefully that helps. But I was happy because, like I said, I know that this topic's going to come up again and we are going to need to address it shortly. But I was very happy to see him get that kick because, you know, distance was one of the things he's known for, but it was also something that he, you know, we've been very fortunate to not have to kick it too much so far this season.
Right. Not one of his misses have put us at jeopardy either. You know what I mean? Yeah. Buffalo hasn't had to depend on his leg for a game winning you know, game-winning field goal at any point yet, and it is still very early in the season in his career. But luckily, you know, getting him those reps, getting him those opportunities at all sorts of different distances, you know, hopefully it builds stuff to work on, and, you know, even hopefully from a confidence perspective. And yeah. I mean, he's a young kicker out of the draft. I can't remember. Honestly can't remember the last time the Bills have done that. Maybe it hasn't been that long, but you got something here. You work with it, and he could be like one of those long, if he continues to improve, he could be one of those long time greats, like a Vinatieri or Morton Anderson, or, right. you know, the one from, he's in New England now, Gostkowski. You know what I mean? One of those generational kickers, and it's always important again to get a fresh one, develop them, and you get the, you know, the rewards are, you know, they're quite rewarding. We all know how valuable it is to have a good, solid kicker nowadays. A lot of teams losing games because of bad kicking play and you know, an injury and whatnot. It can really mess with the team. It's the difference between a team, you know, could be the difference between a team winning in the postseason and going home. It is. So I am glad that you know, we decided to open this up a little bit. Yeah, it was definitely worth it. Hauschka had some issues the last couple of years, ever since that hit from the Jets player 2 seasons ago. Last year, he was a little banged up, missed some easy stuff, you know, should have been easy stuff. So I think it's good that the Bills, you know, went with the young guy and getting him on the right track to succeed.
Yeah. Agreed. I mean, I think he's looking good for somebody that, you know, this is his first go of it. He's been consistent on, you know, point after scores, and so far so good with just a few instances otherwise to the contrary. So
absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Next drive, we got the Raiders. They answered back. They got their first touchdown of the game, shotgun with Derek Carr. Hitting old man Jason Witten. I can't believe how long Jason Witten's been around in the league for. But regardless, a 3-yard touchdown pass, a little high, but Witten had some hops. And, 75 yards, 11-play drive, then with the Raiders touchdown. So they're keeping it close, which was one of my key points this past week. You know, we had seen throughout the first 3 weeks that second half regression. Excuse me. Coffee heartburn. we had seen that second half regression, and this was one of my keys to victory for the Raiders. They're going to pull it off, and if this Bills continue to struggle in the second half, is that, hey, you guys, you know, the Raiders have to keep it close, and they did keep it within reach. You know, down by 4 points going into the tunnel at halftime, there was still an open chance for, you know, for them to win regardless. But anyways, Allen gets the ball back. We're still on this drive. On the previous drive, we're still concerned about Josh Allen and his shoulder, but Josh Allen comes out, takes the knee, and they go to the tunnel at halftime. Third quarter starts off and the Raiders start kind of hot. 73 yards on 11 plays with a 25-yard field goal from Dan Carlson, making the score 17-16. So they're starting to come back a little bit. They got the Bills on the ropes, at least on the scoreboard. Bills punts, which you're like, okay, here we go again. A little disconcerting. You know, they started off so good moving the ball in that first quarter, you know, that first half, and maybe a little concern for Josh, even though it was a non-throwing arm injury. Maybe a little bit of concern. But 39 yards on 9 plays, punted away. Raiders answer back with another punt. Ooh. Exciting stuff. 6 yards on 5 plays. And then the Bills, this is kind of where things start to open up a little bit. They go for, they get a touchdown, 45 yards on 6 plays. And this is benefited hugely because the Raiders went for it. I think they were on their own side of the field. I can't remember the exact yard, that line that they were at, but they're going for it on 4th and short on their own side of the field. And Josh Jacobs could not get through. The Bills, like, pass rush really showed up in this moment that they needed to. They've struggled with this type of, you know, with this attack before, really.
I've been looking forward to seeing more of that too. I know that we've kind of come to get used to it, grow accustomed to it. We're missing a key veteran defensive tackle who has leadership capabilities and intangibles that affect that defense and stuff the run. So with some of our younger players taking on a bigger role leadership wise, and looking to make stops like that, somebody needs to fill those shoes. And that is really what I think the hope has been for Tremaine Edmonds.
Yeah.
We know he is that type of player because we've seen him do it. We've seen him do it in a very short sample size already in his young career. And that's encouraging. Having him and Milano back from the injuries, it's good to see them getting stops like that, because that's what you hope for. Is just like every year when we've hoped to see, you know, the team take these steps forward, right?
Right.
Hope to see the offense take the step forward this year. We hope to see the defense take the next step. You know, it's just little things like that. I mean, we still have one of the best pass rushes in the league over four games. So, things like that make a big difference, especially, you know, when you're playing a team like this, that is a high scoring team that just had this big shootout with Drew Brees and the Saints, where they kept getting back and staying in the game and competing all the way to victory lane, so to speak. That was huge. That was a big, big stop for them. And hopefully is one of many more to come, because it's great to see that defense coming back to the one we know and love.
For sure. Yeah. This is the beginning. This is like the turning point. I was like, okay, there is some life with this defense. Cause I mean, Josh Jacobs, who I'm pretty sure that's who they gave the ball to. I got to double check that. Let's see. I'm like 90% sure that's who. I can't find it, but regardless, I mean, you get a tight offensive line like that. You know, it's on a 1 yard play. There's a good success rate, and they pushed him back a little bit. They kept him a little short. So, this was nice. Actually, was it that? No, this wasn't that play quite yet. My apologies. I'm a little out of order. Anyways, but yeah, the Bills answer back. Bass he misses his extra point. Best, right. Which we were, you know, referring to, and a shoe-in, you know, it's one of those shoe-in kind of kicks, but
and hey, for what it's worth too, I mean, you know, never going to make excuses for a guy, but I will say this, he is learning, and he's getting a bit of a crash course in this first handful of games, because you just played in several open climates, right?
Yeah.
A couple times in Buffalo, then you went down to Florida where there's more humidity, both are open air, and then you're going to an enclosed stadium in dry heat out in Las Vegas. So there's things like that there was a game against Denver not long ago where a kicker missed a kick that normally they wouldn't miss. I mean, there's little things like that differ by location. And this young guy is getting a crash course early on in his career.
He certainly is. Yeah. Like I said, that's the best way to do it, is those game reps. You know, he didn't have a preseason to work with. There was no, you know, he ousted Hauschka in a kicking in a weird off season kind of position battle. But 23-16, the Bills are up to now fourth quarter. This is the big fumble that everybody likes talking about. Well, I certainly like talking about. This is that spark that the Bills defense really, really, truly needed. And Raiders like, okay, we're going to make a run for it. We're only down by 7 points at this point. And we get that beautiful, beautiful Josh Norman punch out. He hits, well, Derek Carr aims for Darren Waller, gets 4 yards. Then Josh Norman punches it out, picks it up, and starts to run away a little bit. And, you know, this is why we wanted Josh Norman here. We knew he still had, you know, he still had a little bit left in the tank. A lot of people like, he's washed, this and that. No, this is a moment of brilliance for Josh Norman. This is what sparked that. I think, in my personal opinion, that defensive unit to really come together. Like, okay, we can do this. And they started tightening up a little bit.
Yep. We saw the same thing happen to DK Metcalf and Seahawks last week. Yeah. Right. You know, good defenses coach their guys to go for the ball in those situations. You know, get the tackle, but if you can, you know, go for the ball. You know, knock it out, get it loose. Josh Norman is still Josh Norman. He might have, you know, taken a payday and you know, spent X amount of years in Washington. but at the end of the day, he's still Josh Norman. We're still getting him while he's got stuff left in the tank, and that's great. For him to come in his first game, you know, and make that impact is huge.
No, it was certainly fun to see. You get his energy too. Get him off, you know, get out the field and being all happy and excited. I'm like, this is the Josh Norman that I've been wanting to see here in Buffalo. And I mean, first game back coming off IR, that's making such a huge play, and that's great. And the Bills, honestly, they capitalized on it. All right, 60 yards, 4 plays on the next drive with Devin Singletary. Running in for a 2 yard touchdown, and the Bills pretty much got it right at this point, 30-16. And just utter confidence for this team. They're fired up. They're as a unit, they're excited. It's not just, okay, the game's over. Who we won. No, there's like, we got this sense of control over here against this Gruden Raiders team who is, you know, they're not terrible. They're not terrible at all, but the Bills are kind of running roughshod over them. Excuse me.
Yeah, it was interesting to kind of see them clash head to head. I mean, these are two good teams, and you could tell throughout the first few quarters of the game that the Bills seem to have the momentum. You know, they seem to be kind of pulling away gradually. And I had a feeling based on those point averages and based on their performances over the last few games that this game could go one of two ways. You know, it could end up being a shootout like the one they had with the Saints, since both teams, you know, have been averaging the points that they have.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the Bills' defense really could, you know, kind of be the difference maker there and contain that Raiders offense similar to the way that they did with the Rams last week. And they managed to do that. You know, they managed to hold them. They managed to really pace and temper, you know, these charges and these offensive drives downfield that the Raiders were making and hold them to kicking. And it really ended up making a difference because, you know, they did end up finding the end zone a bit. But by that time, we'd taken a healthy enough lead, you know, down the stretch where it didn't threaten the leader, cost us an opportunity or even threaten the opportunity to win the game, which is great.
No, it was really good. And yeah, very, very just happy that this team is coming together in that manner. All right. So this is the one I goofed on. Okay. So that thing we just, that long rant we went on the third quarter, it actually happened here when they, my apologies, listeners, you're probably going to bury me on the Apple podcast listens. They always do.
Don't worry. We both knew which one we were talking about.
Yes.
We just got the, this is
why I have you on board. I appreciate you. This is where they went for it on their own side. It's desperation time and the Bills have that big fourth and one stop. Bills get the ball back. They only go 2 yards on four plays. The Raiders' wacky, wild defense kind of stepped up a little bit. And then we get another fumble when the Raiders get the ball back. Let me see. Derek Carr got sacked and turned it over to, was it Quentin Jefferson? I think it was his name. Really ferocious hit. And pretty much the sealing the deal, essentially, on this game. Killing another drive for the Raiders. Bills don't do a whole lot. 0 yards on three plays, punted away. The Raiders get a garbage time touchdown with Derek Carr passing to Nelson Aguilar, and then the Bills just ran out the clock. But this is a solid win. No matter if we're playing Tennessee next week or Kansas City in 2 weeks, this is a really good confidence booster and a good game, I think, for this. Excuse me, a good game for this team to study. You know, top to bottom, going to, you know, on what works. What worked as this, you know, this team as a unit worked very effectively, and especially in this fourth quarter, and what they can build upon going forward.
I love that with Allen coming off some 300-yard and 400-yard games, that he only needed to throw for just under 300.
And nobody lost their mind? And,
right. And listen, look, I am right there. Big cheerleader, excited when he starts racking up those three. I mean, how can you not, right? Get excited. Your quarterback's putting up 300, 400, you know, yard games, 300 consecutive. So I'm with the rest of Bills Mafia on that. Although in an efficiency game, you know, I mean, look, it, that pass to Brown, and I know we're going to talk, or I'm sorry, to to Brown, and I know we're going to talk about that, but the fact that he's able to do this now with his arm, huge. We know the guy can do it with his leg, but seeing him win a game from the pocket is huge. You know, just seeing him just manage and win the game from the pocket is big, making big plays, keeping the offense like he said last week, just learning from it and keeping his foot on the gas, so to speak, not letting it up. You know, they did a good job of that this week.
They certainly did. Yeah, I almost forgot about the John Brown throw. It was one of my, like, key points that I want to hit. I thought it was a touchdown, But that play was like disgusting. I was very impressed with that. The fact that John Brown caught it, man, I still do believe it was a touchdown. It was close, but
unreal.
Unreal. But that's the, I mean, like you said, two wide receiver ones we have in Buffalo.
I have seen since last season, I was at New England when they played the Patriots the second time last year.
Right.
And he made that big pass to Brown way downfield, you know, and we've seen him make some passes like that this year already. And the fact that Allen's doing this without turning the ball over, and I when he's throwing, and I know they had that in my personal belief and opinion, I've watched it a handful of times, what I believe was a bogus interception call last week. Look, I've seen a lot of picks, and, you know, I've seen a lot of contested catches. That catch did not even look contested. I see them call that a catch in games every week, all around the league. And, you know, I don't know why they chose to call that an interception last week, but the fact that he's throwing with accuracy, the fact that he's finding these tight pockets, when you go back and you watch those throws to Beasley, to Brown, just in this game alone, but also going back over the previous games, this is huge. You know, that accuracy, not throwing interceptions, finding those tight pockets, but also from distance.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this isn't...
That's been a big deal, because right for his first couple of years, he had the long ball going and he would miss guys. He would overshoot by 5-10 yards. And now he's hitting them right in the chest, right in the hands, and making it easy for them to catch. And that's the growth that everybody asked for. That's the growth that everybody wanted. You know, the accuracy issue, you always heard about it, the accuracy issues about Josh Allen. Right. And now he's hitting it damn near perfect. And it's really exciting to watch.
It is.
All right. From a statistical standpoint, we'll take a look at the stats from the game. Josh Allen, 24-34, 288 yards passing and two passing touchdowns. On the ground, Devin Singletary, 18 attempts, 55 yards, getting the run game going a little bit. It was definitely much needed. Devin Singletary also had a rushing touchdown of his own. Josh Allen had a rushing touchdown as well with a three attempt. It was weird, -1 yard stat line, but I know we took off for a couple other runs. Receiving wise, Stephon Diggs, 6 catches, 115 yards off 7 targets. Not too shabby. John Brown, 4 catches off for 42 yards. Cole Beasley had a touchdown reception. Gabriel Davis had his 26 yard touchdown reception. Just a very, I mean, look at, he's hit everybody in this game for receiving. Diggs, Brown, Beasley, Davis, Singletary, McKenzie, Knox, Tyler Croft, Andre Roberts. Yeldon had a target, but he didn't catch pull it in. But regardless, he's getting the ball around, and that's the most important thing. On the Raiders side of things, Derek Carr, 32 of 44, 311 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. On the ground, Josh Jacobs, 15 attempts, 48 yards, no rushing touchdowns for the team. And receiving, Darren Waller, as can be expected, was the leading receiver for the Raiders, 9 catches, 88 yards. Nelson Agholor had a receiving touchdown, as well as Jason Witten. So, good showing all around. Now, you know, I guess we can just talk briefly. We, you know, to the listeners, we don't know for sure if the Tennessee Titans game is going to happen. They have been a hot zone for COVID, so we're not sure what's, you know, if it's going to. It's more than likely not going to happen at this point. But regardless, it was a matchup that I was really looking forward to, with how much both of these teams have evolved over the past year. And we all know that they have some great, you know, great competitive games historically. They're always like 1-2 point games. And I was really looking forward to it. We're obviously, we probably will get it at some point this season. But I really would like to see this pass rush go up against Derrick Henry. And that's, you know, Derrick Henry's, he's off to a hot start right now. And I think that would be a great challenge to show how much this pass rush has evolved.
I welcome it. And the reason that I welcome it is because of what we mentioned earlier, you know, about the Bills containing the run, about them containing the run, whether it is Lamar Jackson, about containing the run, you know, even when it's just running backs, you know, they've done a good job with this. And Derrick Henry is the workhorse of that offense. We're getting Ryan Tannehill. This is somebody we have tape against. This is somebody that the franchise has experience against in the division. He essentially has that nice new contract and that comfort of being able, and good for him, by the way, for getting back a starting job in the league. So I don't mean this to in any way marginalize or take away from that accomplishment. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he has found a home in Tennessee. But when we played them last year, you know, we essentially, our defense sacked Marcus Mariota out of his starting job.
Yeah.
And in no small part played an integral role in him getting the shot that led to him. And I mean, he did the work, to his credit. I mean, all the way to defeating New England in that first round game. But, we've seen what the Bills do as far as containing running quarterbacks. You know, he's not going to be able to run all over the Bills defense if we're taking away the passing game.
Right.
And we've plenty of experience defending against his passing offense when he was a quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. So I look forward to that game. We're always kind of have that friendly competition, that little extra motivation, even though the coaches absolutely handle that with class and don't really feed into that at all. You know, right. When we play the Titans. And, I don't see the Titans and Texans having the same type of success, just, you know, rolling into like the first round of the playoffs like they did last year, especially when you've got Ben Roethlisberger back under center in Pittsburgh, especially
Cleveland rock and rolling. Yep.
Yeah. Especially when you get Philip Rivers under center in Indianapolis, mm-hmm. especially when you've got great, Great Lake teams like the Bills, like the Browns, who are showing up and playing the potential and making things interesting and competitive. Those wild card spots aren't going to be, they're going to be competitive. It's not going to be easy to just kind of roll into those. And what we're seeing right now, I mean, that 49 yard pass from Allen to Diggs was the longest pass he's thrown this season.
Right.
If you watch the replay on that, I mean, you know, there's probably like this little, like kind of, you know, 5 yard, 7 yard or so motion, you know, that you could even factor into that play in addition to the 49 yard toss. There's something special going on right now when he doesn't have to do it with his legs against a team that's known for being bad against the run.
Right.
That's significant. So I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, okay, you know, we saw the Titans last year. You saw what we did to them. We're going to match up pretty well against them again, as far as putting pressure on the quarterback. And we've seen, you know, we've seen Tannehill, we've seen him with Miami, and we've gotten even a good chunk of a season preview of what he looks like under center with the Titans between when he took over last year and now. So I'm looking forward to that game.
Very much so. And that about wraps up this episode. So whether we're back with you guys next week talking about a Titans recap, or we're with you in 2 weeks, talking about KC, we thank you for guys for tuning in as always. David, thanks for jumping on. I'm looking forward to talking with you more alongside, for the remainder of the season. As long as you're up for it, I'd love to keep having you back. Very good. So listeners, please, if you like to, give us a follow, give Bills Wire a follow, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We got some of the best writers in Buffalo sports media. Go check them out. Go read their work. They're working hard at all hours of the night to provide content and constant content for you, including, David, who's he's the new guy around the team and around the team at Bills Wire. He's doing great work. So very proud of that. But all right, everybody, till next time, go Bills.
All right, let's go, Buffalo.